I am not worthy to come to your doorstep, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am not worthy to come to your doorstep, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am a pile of sin, and you are the light of the world, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, naat, to recite nasheed, naat, or hamd, praise, is a very good and in the path of da'wat al-tabligh, propagation of Islam, it is a very great method. For da'wah, the meaning of the deen and propagating the deen, the meaning of this, the objective is love. Love. To attain love, there are different methods and ways and paths. There are speeches and lectures. There are talks. There are different methods. And in the same way, a very important and good way is the naat or nasheed or hamd or salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of our pious elders, pious predecessors, the great personalities who with the poems, with the naats, with the couplets, they enlighten the hearts of the believers. And this writing the naat, the nasheed, reciting of the poems, the couplets in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you get a very beautiful conclusion and result. And what is that? That you get an increase in the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this is our objective, love. This is what we want to attain. Now, my friends, love is the main subject of our deen, the main objective of our deen. Everything hinges on love. All success hinges on love. Now love, when a person has love in his heart, and when it is created in heart or instilled in the heart, then the consequence, the result of love is amal, action, and ittiba, obedience. And this is the consequence, and the reward for this of love, due to those two actions, the result is great indeed. There's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that an individual came, and the group of the noble companions was present, and the individual came and he requested that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will Qiyamah come? When will the Day of Judgment come? All of the noble companions were silent. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith, and they started to look at him out of surprise that this is a very big question he's asked, that when will Qiyamah come? When will the Day of Judgment come? And on top of this, he waited for the answer to his question. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that what preparation have you made for Qiyamah? Because Qiyamah will come, but what preparation have you made? What preparation have you made? So that individual gave a unique answer. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be assigned to you, that what preparation am I going to make, or was I to make? I have no deeds to my name, nor do I have anything special that I've done. I haven't got worship, ibadat. I don't have any of this. Ah, but there is one thing that I'd like to present to you. And Rasulullah said, what is that? And he said, I do have one thing that I have love, a lot of love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then listen to the answer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, listen clearly then. On the Day of Judgment, every person, every individual will be with that person or those people with whom he has love or whom he loves. Great piece of news. Good news. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said that this was such great news for us, fantastic news for our Sahaba, that after the Day of Happiness when we came into Islam, there was no greater Day of Happiness than this. What a good piece of news. Glad tidings, excellent news, that if we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, true love, genuine love, and I've told you the result of love, that when we have love, what is the consequence? Then the consequence, there will be a result of that love. And if we have claimed to have love for Rasulullah, then the consequence should be amal, deeds, practice on deeds, and ittiba, imitation and obedience to Rasulullah. So remember this. So in our lives, if from our lives ittiba, obedience comes out, if Rasulullah sunnah comes out of our lives, and we cease to practice the ahkams, the orders of Allah and His Rasul, then there's no love. Then love ceases to exist in the heart. That is then a big deception of the nafs, of our desires. And it tells us that I am a lover, I'm an ashik, and I present the hadith to deceive myself. But I have to understand the point here, that what is love? Love equals what? Love equals amal, practice, and ittiba, obedience to Rasulullah. Practice on his deen and obedience to Rasulullah. And if a person doesn't have these consequences, then he has no love in his heart. And it's obvious today we have a big weakness amongst us, that we take the assistance of incorrect actions to prove our love. But let's listen to the reality, brothers, that we don't have the love without these conditions. What is the love? The love should result in ittiba, in obedience to Rasulullah, in fulfilling his orders, and we should practice on his ahkams, on his orders. Doesn't matter how many tears come out of my eyes, doesn't matter how much my heart cries, but Rasulullah has put down the conditions, the criterion for love, that a person who has love in his heart, this is the criteria. And not just this, that whoever we say to, we have love. Whoever I say to that I have love for you, you will say to him, but that love has to have some demonstration, some proof. If I say to somebody, I have love for you, then that love will request or demand dalil, proof. That what proof do you have for the love you are claiming? That's when a person realizes, does he have love or not? Because it's easy to say, I have love for somebody or someone. If I say, I have love for someone, but then the love will demand, what sacrifice have you made? What efforts have you made? What energy have you spent for your love? What have you done for this love? How have you physically shown this love? What is the status of your love? You can't just give empty da'wah that I have love. And we are talking about normal situation. But now if we turn to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of the human beings. And then remember I said that for tabligh, for propagation, we need to understand about love. Because the mashayikh ikram, the scholars, and the mashayikh, the sheikhs, in every way, they want to explain properly that how can the love for Rasulullah come into the heart of a believer. And remember, love has a physical form. It cannot be that a person has love and then he doesn't obey Rasulullah, he doesn't listen to the orders of Rasulullah. The question doesn't arise. We cannot imagine this. It doesn't even come into the mind, imagination. That I say, for example, to someone, oh, I love you. And then that person says to me, oh, do this for me. I say, no. I'll do whatever you say, but I can't do this request of yours. They will say, look, I don't need, for example, if someone who I say I love, that person says to me, look, I'm in need, desperate, I need £10,000. Can you give me a few £1,000? You say, look, I love you very much. Take whatever you want from me. Ask me, wherever is your blood, there's my sweat. But these 2,000 that you need from your 10,000, you're requesting, is too much for me. I can't do it. So there's so many people who say love. But let's think ourselves now on this highest platform. Who are we deceiving? We're deceiving ourselves. Oh, Rasulullah, we love you so much. We are your ashiks. We can't live without you, without your love. Doesn't matter what happens. And then the answer comes from him, Rasulullah, that do amal on my sunnah. That's a bit difficult. That's a bit hard. I'll have to argue with my family. People will oppose me. And it's difficult for me. What kind of deception is this? Understand straight away. Straight away that there's something lacking in my love, and for this I will need to follow the path and methods to increase my love, to perfect my love. That there's something lacking in my love for Rasulullah. I don't love him, I don't obey him, I don't adhere to him. Otherwise the question doesn't arise that he orders us, he explains to us, he tells us, and I reject and I refuse. Can a Muslim, a believer, imagine this? Can anybody imagine this? What a big point and what a big deception in our hearts. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this is beloved to me. For example, somebody who is beloved to me and tells me to stop something and I don't. Now we read and hear and listen to all examples of love in the world. The films, the records, the music, the songs. These are all filled with temporary love. And where one lover claims to another lover that I like you, I'm attracted to you and I'll do this for you. And all lifelong in our environment, our lives, we hear and see these things. So let's take a lesson from these things. That one temporary love in the stories of the world, how much status there is for the temporary love. But what about those who have the haqiqi, the true genuine love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you think their story will end? No, this is here I'm talking about. But it's stated in the heavens that what is the story and the consequence for this person. So what's the reason that we don't implement and adhere and fulfill the request of Rasulullah sallallahu? Because there's something lacking in us. And what is lacking? Love. We need to revive our love. And there's a big, beautiful method, a great method to revive the love for Rasulullah sallallahu, and that is not and nasheeds and hamd and salam. Then here In one couplet, in one verse, the poet who writes the Nat, he can seal many, many lines of words in one couplet. And the message of his couplet, of his verses, it pierces the heart of the people and they become desperate for the love of Rasulullah. This is the power, the effect in the Nat and the Nasheeds. This is not insignificant to recite the Ash'ar, the couplets. The, what is the status in the company of Rasulullah? What was the status of reciting Nats and Nasheed and couplets and poems to praise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I remember an event at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to prove the importance of this action. The conquest of Makkah is a great and significant event in the history of Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he departed from his city, he was coming back to his city. And how did he depart and migrate from his city? And how did he return back? They conquered and came back to Makkah Sharif. The whole Jamaat of the Sahaba and those same people who expelled the Muslims, they were standing there as criminals. Allahu Akbar. And what a beautiful point here. Such a story, such a dynasty this is. Such a history that if you take the pages from the history and turn the pages of history to read about historical events, you cannot see any example that is similar and akin to this, like the event when the Sahaba Ikram and Rasulullah came back to Makkah. There is no comparison that can show the learning from this. So here, the Sahaba were coming, Rasulullah came back to Makkah, to Haram Sharif. Long event, but I will summarize. And after coming back to Haram Sharif, to Makkah, and the biggest event occurred, that what will happen now, what will be the decision with regards to the mujrims, the criminals? And they weren't small-time criminals. They were big-shot criminals. Was there any pain that was not given to Rasulullah or to the Sahaba Ikram, to the noble companions or to those who believed? What punishment was it that they did not receive? They took boulders and stones and intestines thrown on them, animal intestines, and there was heat and the deep and the very hot sand, and their bodies were stretched and tortured, and they were expelled from Makkah, and they went on a long journey on migration. They had to leave their homes and their belongings, and those criminals who meted out the crimes were there in front of them. Now what would be the natural instinct of a man, that if somebody even pokes you with his finger, then even for years and decades you will feel, I want to take revenge on this person, I'm not going to leave him. How did he say this to me? How did he hit me? And you wait and you wait and you wait. Somebody defrauded you and did bad to you, you will say, I'm going to take revenge on this person. How did he dare to say this to me? How did he do it? And here, look at the quality and the character of Rasulullah who presented the justice of Islam. And Rasulullah came back to Makkah, this great event, and all of the Sahaba are there, and the criminals are there, and people are trembling, their heads bowed, their necks bowed, and Rasulullah stood and announced, and people think, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? And Rasulullah said, aha, O people, I've come back to your city, to my home, and go, I forgive all of you. All of you, people could not imagine and think. Rasulullah said, go, I forgive all of you. And the person who comes to Haram, he is forgiven. The person who goes to Abu Sufyan's home, who is the biggest criminal, whoever's in his home, he is forgiven. And the person who throws down his arms, he is forgiven. And the person who requests protection, he is forgiven. Old man, young man, youth, everyone's forgiven. Forgiven, forgiven. To this extent, such a great example of justice, you cannot read until the Day of Judgment, from the beginning of time to the Day of Judgment. This is our Islam. Justice, equality. We say Islam, Islam, but we don't present Islam. At least let's present it somehow. So Rasulullah had mercy on these people, forgave them, and there were certain individuals about whom the orders were severe and strict. The orders about those certain individuals were severe and strict, that the punishment had been mentioned about them already. And there was one individual from them, Ka'ab bin Zuhair, and he was a third class individual, and he was a sha'ir, a poet, and he used to say bad things, rubbish things, nonsense statements about Rasulullah. There was total wretchedness in his statements, and there was a severe hukam order about him when he was to be met. There were a few individuals like this, four or five, but they all ran off, and one or two of them were caught, and he ran off, Ka'ab. He ran away, and he ran away to Taif. And when he reached to Taif, he had a relative or a brother or a servant, a slave, and he said, listen to me, you're wasting your time trying to run away as a fugitive. You won't be saved. You'll get caught, because it's impossible that you will continue to hide. Eventually you'll be caught and your consequence will be bad. Be quiet. Silently come back. I give you my advice. Come back. I've seen these people from close up, and they are great personalities, and there's nothing in the dunya that can produce such a great personality like this. Come back quietly, silently. You have made a big crime. You committed a big crime because a few people have been selected for this for you. But my feeling, my nasiha is this, that his mercy, due to the sadaqah of his mercy, I consider and understand that if you come back and you request forgiveness, then you won't return empty-handed. You won't return back empty-handed. He didn't come back. He said, how can this be? I'm going to punish. Then he thought eventually, look, I'm going to die one day anyway. So let me go back and let's see what happens. Maybe I'll be forgiven. So Ka'ab, he wrapped the blanket around his body, his head, his face, and nothing could be visible apart from his eyes. And he came back to the court of Rasulullah and presented himself. And he said, that Ka'ab is a big criminal, and we are all looking for Ka'ab. Now, if it happens that Ka'ab is found and he comes to your presence and presents himself and he comes himself and requests that, forgive me, what would you say about him? What would you say to him? And here, listen to the answer. Rasulullah said that, Ka'ab, you've now come heaven to you anyway. Now that you've come, Ka'ab, subhanAllah, he knew he'd come. Now you've come, go, I forgive you. Subhanallah, Ka'ab took over his niqab, his blanket, and he stood there and said that this man is here present, and me and my whole family is assigned to you. And I give myself to you, assign myself to you, and I make a request to you. And Rasulullah said, what? He said that I was a dirty person. I spoke a lot of nonsense and rubbish with my dirty and wretched tongue. This unfortunate tongue, you forgave me, and Noor has now come into my tongue, and your love and the ocean of your love is boiling in my heart and my body. For the sake of Allah, give me permission that I want to recite some couplets and verses in your praise. And then Rasulullah looked at his face and said, did it? You want to recite? Okay, wait. Don't start yet. Don't start. Let's form the gathering. Rasulullah said, ordered that bring the mimbar, my seat, and bring the gathering together and call the people and make the gathering. And then after that, Rasulullah ascended to his mimbar and then ordered Ka'ab that now praise me. Allahu Akbar. Then Ka'ab bin Zuhair, radiyallahu anhu, who was before a criminal, radiyallahu anhu, became Hazrat Ka'ab, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And when he praised Rasulullah, great poem, his first verse was azim, great, fantastic, about the praise of Rasulullah, about the status of Rasulullah. And he continued to recite that verse according, and he mentioned and praised Rasulullah's status, and the whole gathering, this is about the conquest of Makkah, and this is the poem, the nasheed, the nad, and everyone was full of the love of Rasulullah at that time. So these ashar, the verses, the couplets in the nads and the nasheeds, are beautiful, and they have a high impact. When a person hears them, the love of his increases in his heart for Rasulullah, and listen to them clearly. And when do we enjoy the ashar, the couplets, the verses? You will enjoy them at that time whenever a person who has a heart, the ahle dil, the people of heart, he is a ta'ib, he is obedient and he has a heart, and he recites a naat, a nasheed, a couplet, or hears it, then he says, Allah, allow the ashes of love to increase in my heart, and allow the people around listening or hearing to also increase in their love for Rasulullah. This is not about, wow, how great, beautiful. No, this is not the objective. Here, the person who recites the nasheed and those who listen, they ask Allah that allow the love of Rasulullah to increase in hearts. And when does this occur? When the when the reality of his verses and couplets are touched. Some people, they recite the nasheed and the naats and the verses and the couplets and they hear. But what should we do is that the person who's reciting and those who are listening, they should touch on the reality and the depth of the verses of that person. And you see that, he's speaking from a beautiful way. So listen here. I am not worthy to come to your doorstep, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am not worthy to come to your doorstep, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am a pile of sin, and you are the light of the world, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the poet here presents his thoughts. He says that it is a desire in the heart of every Muslim to see the blessed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to travel to Medina and feel its cool breeze. However, the poet refers to himself and says, I am a pile of sin, and you are the light of the world, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He states that the biggest obstacle in his path to be close is his own nafs. With great humility and respect, he is making his request at the doorstep of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that despite so much longing, I am unable to be close to you, and for that I am the only one to blame because of my sins. My nafs has caused me to become so impure that it is not possible for both light and darkness to exist together in the same place. Subhanallah. And where am I? Subhanallah. He says that I am not worthy to come to your doorstep, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am a pile of sin, and you are the light of the world, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says, the poet, that I am suffering an affliction, bestow your blessing upon me. I am suffering an affliction, bestow your blessing upon me. My end is near, yet you are far from me. O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here the poet then explains the condition of his heart. I have fallen into affliction and am surrounded by it. And the affliction is truly only one, that I am completely restless in your love. I weep all day and night. But now my condition is such that I can see death is near. But oh my beloved, how strange it feels that I'm nearing my end, yet I am not any closer to you. For a lover, this is a great matter. And this distance he refers to is not a physical distance. For a lover, this is a great matter. And this distance he refers to, this is not a bodily distance. Because for the lover, it's not the physical distance. So here the poet, he says, and this distance he refers to is not a physical distance. A lover always refers to the distance of the heart. This distance he refers to is a spiritual distance. The lover is addressing his beloved and saying, I'm dying, yet spiritually I feel that I'm no closer to you. The reason for that can only be my sins. He's explaining his situation, i.e. presenting his condition to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the poet says, I long for the fragrant breeze of Tayba be brought here. Beautiful point here. I long for the fragrant breeze of Tayba be brought here. When life is at an end, it will breathe new life into me in the form of the fragrance of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So the poet here is saying that, he's saying, I'm spiritually distant from you and death's door. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bestow me with the blessing of granting me a little fragrance, and please let the breeze of Medina bring it my way. After all, I am leaving this world with tears in my eyes. O breeze of Medina, subhanallah. So he's saying here that, O breeze of Medina, bring to me a little of the blessed fragrance of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it will breathe life into my dying condition. He states that when the fragrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches him, he will not die, and it will give him strength and a renewed desire for life. Subhanallah. And then he says, in the way, this is a very great couplet verse, a very important verse, that in the way that the dry barren land waits for the rains of mercy. Subhanallah. I too eagerly wait for the rains of blessing of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, the poet is saying, is that here, where you see that the poet now presents an interesting analogy. He says, on the dry barren wasteland, the stones and patches of dry grass are continually waiting for the moment that Allah sends a breeze full of dark clouds to rain water upon them, so that they can come alive again and be green again and become trees and flowers. So the poet then says, I too eagerly wait for the rains of blessing of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying, I'm just like those very dry rocks, void of any life. However, the rain I need is not the same as the rain they need. What I need is the mercy of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam to rain upon me. And that is secret to my life. Just as the life of that dry earth is dependent on rainwater, I cannot consider myself to be alive until your mercy is now not showered upon me. Just like the rocks, they are alive with the rainwater. And he says that just as the life of that dry earth is dependent on rainwater, I cannot consider myself to be alive until your mercy is not showered upon me. And then the poet continues to say that nothing but a vision of you is my only cure. Subhanallah. He says that I am very ill from this separation. You are the life of lives, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says that I am ill and very sick indeed, but my cure doesn't lie in worldly medicine. No matter how weak I am, or if I fall to the ground, do not seek to cure me in this way. There is only one cure for me, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the life of lives. You love us a great deal. And you, as I said, you are the life of lives. You love us a great deal. And I can tell you what will cure me. And that is, why do people waste time on trying to cure me? And don't think I am unconscious. I am awake. And that is to see that I tell you, there's only one cure for me, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is to see you. Please grant me a vision of you. Just one glimpse is all and need. And this ill person will no longer be ill and will be full of health. Subhanallah. And then the Prophet says that they have become dazzling beacons of light in the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have become dazzling beacons of light in the life, in the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those tears that flowed from my eyes in the remembrance of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet says that the tears of the lovers are priceless. Do not consider them to be of no value, says the poet. The poet says that do not consider the tears that flow forth due to the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a small matter, for they are lofty towers of light. You have no idea how far this light can reach. He says, where you have no idea how far and high these tears and the light can reach. He says, those tears that flow from my eyes in the remembrance of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are special tears. Why? Because they are not due to any materialism, but they are tears due to the restless heart containing the love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were not tears for materialism, for material gain. Subhanallah. Then the poet continues to say that wonderful memories from the past do give me some strength to live. Thoughts of you, thinking about you and the city of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that lover, the poet says, the beloved states, I am not deserving of this life. That I'm not deserving of this life. For how is it possible that a lover can live separated from his beloved? That is no life. Subhanallah. He states that the reason he is still alive is due to the memories. Subhanallah. Memories of time spent in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam city. The thoughts and feelings that went through his mind during the time spent in Medina. He states that this is what keeps me alive, the feelings, the emotions. That is what keeps me alive. Otherwise, I would have perished a long time ago. That is what keeps me alive. Subhanallah. So the poet says here that due to those feelings, this was it. If I didn't have these thoughts, then I would have perished a long time ago. He said, that is what keeps me alive. Otherwise, I would have perished a long time ago. Then the poet says, the lamps of light that sit upon the ends of the eyelashes do say, Subhanallah. Listen to this couplet. On the day of gathering, it will provide cover in the form of the mantle of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, what is the poet saying? The poet is saying that you see here, in the Persian language, the word mizgan means the ends of the eyelashes. He states, the people see me weeping all the time. They see me remove my glasses and wipe my eyes. And this is not because I'm suffering from a cold, nor is it because of any discomfort, nor have I been bitten by an insect. The reason for this is that whenever and wherever I hear your remembrance, my eyes instantly fill with tears. Whenever I hear a verse of the Quran describing your qualities, I begin to weep. O beloved, whenever I hear the mention of your blessed name, whether it be from a friend or an enemy, I cannot control my emotions. The condition of my love is such that tears begin to flow from my eyes. But I do not wish for the people to see this, so I make an attempt to stop them in their tracks. And by doing this, they come to rest at the end of my eyelashes and begin to shine. The poet likens those shining tears, Subhanallah. The poet here likens those shining tears that rest upon the eyelashes to lamps of light. He states, these are no common tears. These tears now contain a spiritual light that the people cannot see. Subhanallah. They are a lamp of light. Lamps of light. A light that has collected together upon the tips of my eyelashes. Then he says, on the day of gathering, these tears, they're not tears. There is noor and light, Subhanallah. He says that on the day of gathering, it will provide cover in the form of the mantle of the Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he gives a message to the world that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the mercy for the worlds. Will he not be aware of my tears? He is Rahmatul Alameen. He says, Allah Akbar, I'm convinced that the power of these tears is such that on the day of gathering, I will receive protection and cover in the mantle of mercy. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So do you enjoy this? Has your love increased? This is not, brothers, a great, great practice, not the nasheed of the praise of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here, beautiful final couplets. He says that I am unable to write a poem that does justice to your excellence. Subhanallah. He says that the poet here says, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one is able to express your excellence in words. Allahu Akbar. From all creation, you have the status. Ba das khuda buzurg tui qissa mukhtasar. After Allah, you have the highest status. That's it. No person can express the excellence of the Lord, nor can they express your excellence in words. Your status is so expansive that it cannot be enclosed. Subhanallah, it cannot be enclosed in any words, in any writing, or in any poetry. This is why he states, I am unable to write a poem that does justice to your excellence. That's why the poet says in his weeping state, Subhanallah, he says that, how can I, Allahu Akbar, the poet says, I am unable to write a poem that does justice to your excellence. I'm not writing this poem to praise you, Allahu Akbar. Then he says, Allahu Akbar, in his weeping state, Asif wrote this naat of the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And the poet says, Alhamdulillah, in my restless and weeping condition, I wrote this naat, but it comes nowhere near to doing any justice to your excellence. So, Alhamdulillah, may Allah grant us true love for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, if we have this love, then we will never feel any embarrassment in following the way of our blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember that we are so far from the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and have so many shortcomings. There are obstacles in our path, the nafs, our worldly situations. We need to realize that we are far from this love, and if we continue like this, it will not be good for us. Get up and go to those places, do those things, and meet such people whose hearts are restless and burned with love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person sits by a fire, he will always feel the heat. So if you were to go and spend a moment in the company of those whose hearts are burning flames of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then inshallah that you spend a few moments in that company, then inshallah that heat will also begin to transfer into your hearts. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.